Hey, everybody, and welcome to the second Group Leader Podcast. Thank you to those of you who replied back and just let me know that you enjoyed the resource and that it served you well. Quite a few of you did that, so I'm excited about that because it means that we get to keep doing this. So let's just keep going with this week's topic, and it's going to be on commitment. So I know from talking to a lot of you guys that one of your concerns is that people seem to have low commitment when it comes to showing up for your group, doing the homework, or whatever that may be, just kind of an overall low commitment to your group. So the first thing that I think we need to think through related to that is simply, why aren't they committed? Why is it that they're just not showing the same amount of interest that you or maybe other people in the group are? And I can think of a few reasons that they may be that their commitment level might be lower. The first is just that they might be new to Christ, and they might be new to church in general. If that's the case, then they don't know that that the church is Christ's body. It is what he came to found and establish as the one way that he was going to reach this world with the message that, you know, he is now the risen Lord. So they may not know that, and so they may not understand that the gatherings of the church, whether that's the worship service or smaller groups, that those are as important as they truly are. So that's one, but they also might just have something going on in their life. A lot of people, when they stop showing up to things, maybe they were regular and now they're not, or maybe it's just been tough for them to show up on a regular basis. They may have something going on in their life that you may not actually know about. And that's one of the things we'll talk about here in just a few minutes. So we'll circle back to that. So they may have something going on in their life, but the other thing is it really just might not be the right time for them. There may be something going on that is keeping them from being able to have that kind of commitment level. That might be work. Maybe they work an overnight shift, and it's because of the group times that we have, like, it's just not working out for them, or they just have too many other commitments going on in their life. I think for some people, it's just simply not the right time for them. Then the last reason why they may have low commitment, some of the people in your groups may have low commitment level, and this one's less comfortable, is that it may reflect that the group leader themselves is showing a low level of commitment. It may just be through body language and things like that, like showing up late for the group if it's at someone else's house. It may be by, you know, being underprepared for the discussion that you're supposed to have that night, or just not doing the reading. Just certain things like that can really send a signal that, you know, I'm not all that committed to this, and so, you know, why should they be? So that's something that I think that as leaders we want to be sure that we're displaying the right kind of commitment that we're expecting of other people as well. So those are some of the reasons why I think people aren't committed to groups, and I'm sure that there's more of them, but that's some of the common ones that I've seen. But with that being said, what are some ways that we can address that low commitment, right? Let's go through three tips for addressing low commitment with people in your group, all right? The first one is to have a personal conversation to see how they're doing. I can't tell you how many times I've given this advice to different ones of you, to different group leaders here at the church. They'll say that, you know, someone is not showing up, they're not responding to emails, they're texting at the last minute that they can't come. And it's like every week, it's like, I haven't even seen them for 2 months. I don't even know if they want to be a part of this anymore. Whenever someone tells me that, the first thing I say is, have you talked to them personally? Have you made an effort to reach out to them face-to-face for coffee? Have you called them on the phone? Have you texted them or something like that? Something personal just to them, to reach out to them and just see how they're doing. Because odds are that they may have something going on in their life, and that's what I was talking about just a minute ago. And so I would encourage you that if you have someone or a couple in particular that is not committed to the group, they're not showing up on time, they're not coming at all, those sorts of things, reach out to them first. Make your first effort a face-to-face meeting. That would be like a coffee, or just getting them to stick around for a few minutes after a group meeting or something like that. But something face-to-face if possible. Part of the reason is because it just allows you to pick up on body language. And a lot of those, you know, intangible things that get communicated when we talk to people face to face. But try that first. If for some reason they won't meet with you, if they can't work that in, do a phone call, because at least you get some voice inflection that you can help to read what's going on. And then lastly, you know, try email or text if they won't do either of those other two things. And at least they know that that you're still trying to reach out to them. Now, I've had people say, well, what if they don't respond to any of that? And for the most part, people do. When they know that you've reached out to them personally, there's a kind of a higher emphasis, or they feel a certain responsibility to get back to you. But if they don't, do all of the steps that I mentioned there, try and set up each one of those things. And if they don't, and you haven't heard from them for several months, send them one last email that just says, hey, I haven't heard back from you. Really would love for you to be a part of this group. But since I haven't heard from you, I'm going to just start leaving you off the next few emails, and you know, just reply back. Let me know if you don't want that, or if you'd like to meet up and just talk about what's been going on. So that means that you've done at least 3 to 4 touch points of communication to try and get in front of them, or to try to hear from them, like what's going on. So the worst case scenario, even if you know they do fall off of the group, that you've done your part, and you can feel like you've reached out to them in the right ways and enough times. If you do get together with them, like I said, over coffee or on the phone, make it about them first, because I know the first thing that you want to do is just ask them about why they're not coming to group. But hold that for later. Just ask them what's going on in their life, like, how have you been? How is your marriage, if they're married? How's work going? How are the kids, if they have kids? Those sorts of things. To just let them know, and let them know that you're interested in how they're doing. And I hope that as group leaders, we are actually interested in how they're doing, because that's one of the primary things that we're supposed to be doing as group leaders. So just start off with asking them how they're doing. And then at some point towards the end, or about halfway through, bring it around to like, to the group thing. So, you know, I've noticed you haven't been coming to group, haven't been responding to emails. What's going on with that? Is this not the right time for you to be in this? Do you think maybe another group would be a better fit for you that meets on a different day or time? And then just let them know that you're willing to help them walk through that, whatever their answer is. So if it's yes, I can't get my act together to get there on time. All right, well, what can I do to help? How can I help you remember? What can I do to set you up for success? If they say, yeah, I need to try another group, this isn't working, okay, cool, let me put you in touch with Grayson or Kathy, and they will help you walk through getting into another group. Or if they say, look, this just isn't the right time, that's fine. You can also put them in touch with us, and we can help them get connected to volunteering or whatever it is that they might think is a better fit for them. And if they don't take you up on any of that, again, at least you've offered, you've done your part in trying to keep them connected to the body of the church. Okay, so the first tip for addressing low commitment is to just simply have a personal conversation with them, the people that aren't committed to the group, and just see how they're doing. The second tip would be to fill out or to revisit a group agreement. Okay, to fill out or to revisit a group agreement. If you've been through the group leader orientation, or you've been around for a while, you may have heard me talk about this. The group agreement is simply like a one-page document that lays out the time that you're going to meet, how many minutes of the group in general are going to be spent on study versus social time, where we're going to meet, what the group is going to be focused on, those sorts of things. You just kind of fill that in, and then everybody signs it at the bottom. That's all this is. If you don't have one of those, if you want to see what that's like, reply to the email you got this in, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of that. I suggest that all of our groups fill one of these out. I really do. I just think it's helpful to have all of that down on paper in case you ever need to revisit it. And one of the reasons I say to do that is for instances precisely like this. Like if you have someone that's not showing commitment to the group, it's now it's a document that you can take them back to and says, look, you did agree to do this. I mean, you may not have to physically point at it, but they'll remember signing it. It says, you committed to do this, and for some reason you're not following through. What's going on? And then also, when you add new people to a group, this is a great time to pull it out. Pull it out, go through it. It reminds everybody there what they've signed up for, and it also allows the new people to see what they're agreeing to and what your group is actually like. Now, along those lines, one of the things that you can mention in that group agreement that I've heard another one of our groups do here is that they say, hey, if you can't make it, yeah, that's fine. We understand stuff comes up. But when you email to let us know that you can't make it, reply all to like the last prayer request email that we had that everybody was on, or just send a new email with all the group members' email addresses on there. Don't just send it to the group leader, send it to all of us. And I really like that because I think it's actually fairly easy for a lot of people to just send an email or a text to one person that says, hey, I can't make it, because they, you know, whatever came up that might be going on in their life. But if you have to send that same message to now, you know, 10 people, I think that they're going to think that through a little bit more, because they know that all those people are going to read it and someone might ask them what's going on. So they're not, I think that they're less likely to use it as an excuse that, you know, they just don't feel like getting out. And so they're saying, oh, I've got some commitment that came up. But consider doing that. Consider having everybody reply all, or send an email to all the people in the group that just says, hey, I can't make it tonight. Because it is something that we're all committed to one another. It's not everybody committing to you as the leader. It's committing to one another as group members. All right, so the second tip there was fill out or revisit a group agreement if you haven't done that before. And then our third tip for addressing low commitment is to do a study, to walk through a study on community or on the church. Earlier we said that, you know, if someone is new to Christ or the church, that they might not see the importance of the gatherings that we do, like the weekend service or, again, your small group. And one thing that's important to keep in mind is that if that's true, if they are actually new to those things, don't assume that they're doing that on purpose or that they even really realize the significance of not coming to this, not coming to your group, because they really might truly be ignorant of it. And so that's not something that we should hold against them. It's something that we should help them see, yes, but then also walk alongside them until they understand the importance of it. And one of the easy ways to do that, I think, is by walking your group through a study, again, on community or the church. And I have a few of those in my office that I'm always happy to hand out to you guys. You can reply to the email if you would like some recommendations on that. But any good study on that is going to walk you through the fact that the church is kind of the called out people of God. And one of the things that they do is they gather together. All the way back in the beginning of the church in Acts 2, we see that they're gathering together regularly. And so it's important for not only the building up of one another, but also how we're going to then turn around and love the world. Because it's all the stuff that we study and learn together is all the stuff that we want to work out in the rest of our lives with the people around us, but that all happens, that sharpening of iron happens with one another. One of the things that they certainly won't understand when it comes to committing their time to things like your group is that when they come to Christ, one of the things we often miss is that, or I should say, one of the things we think is that the church is now tacked on to our schedule as some other commitment, some other thing that we now have to work in during the week. Instead, it should be a reorganizing of priorities, right? Because the church should become now the central focus of my activity once I become a Christ follower, because he calls us to himself, and then he calls us into relationship with other people who have come to him as well. And if they haven't thought through that shift happening in their life, well, then it does just seem like another commitment and something that's going to be hard to keep up throughout the week. But that simple helping them see that it's a difference in perspective will really maybe go a long way to helping them be more committed to your group and hopefully give you guys the kinds of group that are flourishing. So I hope that those three tips help for you just talking to people, having some conversations about commitment to your groups, and I can't wait to see and hear from some of you how that works out. All right, we'll talk to you again soon.